Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University and is a licensed chiropractor with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning. Let's get to it. This is something that concerns everybody sooner or later. Heart disease, leading cause of death today in the United States is heart disease, according to the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta in 2010. That's just last year. 785,000 Americans had a heart attack. Every 25 seconds, an American has a first-time heart attack. Think of that. Every 25 seconds, somebody's ticker talks. And every minute, one person dies from that heart attack. We lose one person a minute in the United States of America from something, as we conclude this show today, you're going to see is completely avoidable. Now, that person doesn't have to be you. That's why you listen to this show. If you listen to this show today, I will drastically, by the end of it, if you take the message, reduce your incidence for heart attack or stroke drastically. And we've got so much to support this. No required reading. I just want you to use your common sense. Common sense is super important today because the science behind heart health has been flawed and skewed very often, as our solutions are often flawed and skewed when we simply use science, and it doesn't work with our common sense. And you all know that feeling where you listen to something that somebody says from a highly credentialed point of view, and it just doesn't jive with your inner intelligence. So this common sense thing is so important. My common sense on the issue of heart disease has always told me something. And what it's told me is we have to look outside the United States to the French and to the Japanese. In other words, to create a sense of reality about what to do about your health by looking at others who are far more successful statistically than we are. We call that the medical anthropology. Looking outside our culture to another culture to understand how their choices in diet and lifestyle give them a better edge on heart disease. And certainly this is the case with the French and the Japanese. Now I'm going to read to you guys a short article. I think it's fantastic, sort of summarizing what goes on anthropologically outside this country. In the UK, the United Kingdom, the British, and I'm reading now, have a high daily consumption of saturated and trans fats, chief suspects among risk factors for heart disease. But this is actually topped by Germany, Belgium, and France. These three salami-eating countries, as the article states, boast far fewer heart disease deaths than the United Kingdom, according to the British Heart Foundation. So it's basically saying the British have a lot of heart disease. And we might think it's lifestyle, but then again, we look to Germany, Belgium, and France, and they eat so much toxic fat, salami-eating countries, and yet they have far less heart disease than England. This is confusing. The article goes on to state that even more confusing are the people of France. Although the French smoke more, eat more fat, and consume only slightly more fruit and vegetables than the British do, the French have the lowest heart death rate in the European Union, only about 25% of the British rate. This is the notorious French paradox, which epidemiologists have puzzled over for decades. Although French hearts appear to be healthiest and best preserved in Europe, They are certainly among the worst on the risk factors of diet and smoking. And this has been, guys, the perennial story about heart disease in Europe. Why do the French have such low rates of it when they eat so much of all the things that your cardiologist, that the American Medical Association, that so-called authorities are going to tell you, you must not eat or you're going to get heart disease. The French are eating it all daily, okay, laughingly, entertainingly at dinner without the slightest concern, and yet compared to the American rate, the French are a stellar model of heart health. The French paradox, we call this, which epidemiologists have puzzled over. Then we go on to the Spanish, the Finnish, the Italians, and the Portuguese. Smoke less, eat less harmful fat, and consume more fruit and vegetables than the French, yet they die in greater numbers from heart disease. Extremely confusing, and I'll unravel that in a minute. How can this be, says the article. Then they bring in the United Nations. In their report called the UN Chronicle, the Atlas of Heart Disease and Stroke, Japan has one of the lowest rates of coronary heart disease in the world. But the Japanese were found to have a gradually increasing risk after moving to North America, like the people do there. So they cite the United Nations in this UN Chronicle, pointing out that Japan traditionally, as long as they stay in Japan and do what traditional Japanese do and don't move to the United States, as long as the Japanese do what traditional Japanese do, they, like the French, have this very, very low rate of coronary heart disease. So the question becomes, why don't these heart disease risk factors seem to affect the Gallows smoking, double cream brie eating French, says the article. This thing really, really puzzles people. When I get back from break, I'm going to explain and clarify, educate and inform you, and completely eliminate these so-called mysteries of heart disease. And of course, I'm going to get you interested in some of the solutions. So we're going to take a slight break, and hi, my friends. This is Dr. Medici. Write this number down right now. 1-888-777-0711. That's 1-888-777-0711. That's my toll-free, super easy-to-remember phone number that allows you to get on the show with me live to get your health questions answered. That's 1-888-777-0711. I want to hear about your health concerns, your symptoms, your aches and pains, your questions about surgery, anything under the name of health that concerns you concerns me, and I'll get it handled. And if it's inappropriate for the show or we need more time, I'll finish it after the show. That's 1-888-777-0711. And if you're shy and this isn't the kind of thing you do, do it anyway. I promise I'll make it easy. That's 1-888-777-0711. Hope to hear from you. Bye-bye. Okay, we're back. All right. The French. What are the French doing that's correct? The French eat raw, extremely aged cheese. And you know that. The more pungent, the better. You've been to Europe. You've been to Paris. Any of you know gourmet food, gourmet fare, and understand Europe and understand the French, they are legion for hundreds of years for exalting the benefits, but just in terms of their culinary tastes, not health. But they've got this wonderfully interesting habit of cultivating these multi-flavored, highly diverse smorgasbords of cheese. And the reality is that's really a potent probiotic heart and circulation cocktail, that the probiotics, the good bacteria, which of course is going to be in aged cheese. If you age it 3 months, it's got so much potent probiotics. If it's 6 months, it's got more. If it's a year, it's got more. If it's 2 years, if it's 3 years, finally, you get this cheese cocktail that stinks a mile away, and they all taste and smell differently depending upon the type of cheese. Now, that's French fare. On top of which, we know, and we know this from science, And this is not up for dispute. This is not controversial. This is not soft cell nutrition. This has been substantiated 1,000 feet high that the probiotic bacteria in something like aged cheese produce, here's a new word, fibrinolytic enzymes. Fibrinolytic enzymes. Enzymes that degrade fibrin. And fibrin is one of the building blocks of blood clots. We know, this is not up for argument, that probiotic bacteria, and French cheese is loaded with them, produce enzymes that degrade fibrin, and fibrin, one of the building blocks of atherosclerosis, not just blood clots, but fatty plaques that stuff up the arteries until your heart cells cannot get enough blood, and those heart cells lacking the oxygen in the blood begin to die. And if they die enough, that's your heart attack. And if those coronary arteries are already too constricted because you're sympathetic dominant. Now I'm introducing a word I introduced last week, sympathetic dominance, meaning you are too stressed out. And so your arteries, your coronary arteries are already in constriction. And you add to that the plaque buildup from the fibrin that's not being dissolved by the fibrinolytic enzymes that you would get in French aged cheese, you're that much closer to a massive coronary event. Now, I'm going to repeat that in different ways, but that's in a nutshell. People all over the world for hundreds of years take raw fermented foods that dissolve the clot before the clot even begins. We don't need the Coumadin when we live like that. Now, if you go to the website, straighttalk.cc, I'm going to be attaching these hard science articles in the educational section on the website. I'll underline the most relevant parts so you don't have to be bored or overwhelmed by the tech part of it. But these are studies from labs. So a lot of those words are high-end chemistry, but you can understand the essence in what you call abstract of the report. The abstract is the article in a summary. Now let's interpret this a different way. The French have, by far, the lowest rate of heart disease in Europe, only one quarter of that of Great Britain. And the one distinctive cultural trait that earmarks French culture from England, from Italy, from Spain, Greece, and Portugal, from Eastern Europe and Scandinavia, is their love affair with raw, very aged cheese and all those distinctive flavors. Now, I might be wrong. All right, I'm not wrong, but let's just say theoretically I'm wrong, and somebody's going to call in and talk to me about wine and resveratrol and the flavonoids, and that's the reason the French don't get heart attacks. Okay? The problem with that, then, is to explain the Japanese. See, because here are the Japanese with that same very, very surprisingly low incidence of cardiovascular disease, and they have their love affair with miso, tempeh, and most of all, natto, the fermented natto, the probiotic-rich carrier of the enzyme, nattokinase, another fibrinolytic enzyme. You see, this is when it starts to add up. You look at the French, you look at the Japanese. Later on, I'll bring in the Eskimo doing his version of the same thing. And even though eating pounds of saturated fat every day, the kind of stuff that should plug them up and render them unconscious at 20, 25. They eat 2 pounds. The traditional Eskimo eats 1 to 2 pounds of saturated fat a day. That's not the genetics. That's the way the fat goes into the body. But let's get back to the Japanese. Here are the Japanese with their love affair for natto. That's not a coincidence that the two hallmarks of cardiovascular health routinely incorporate in their day-to-day fibrinolytic foods. In other words, foods that break up fatty plaque and break up clots before they become that heart attack or embolic stroke. Now, any culture that does this is not their genetic disposition, that somehow over hundreds of years of whatever, they just happen to develop this genetic profile that doesn't allow them to succumb to the ravages of heart disease. This is nonsense. These would be predictable findings of any culture that does this in the same way. Thus, the Eskimo, from Alaska to Russia to Scandinavia, 1 to 2 pounds of raw meat and raw saturated fat per day, and not a trace traditionally of heart disease or cancer or tooth decay for that matter. Now, there is a book. You could get this book, Ed Hal, Enzyme Nutrition. He's a medical doctor. Again, an MD, spent his life understanding these and unraveling these mysteries. It's a $10 book on Amazon. And in this book, Dr. Hal, medical doctor, goes into all sorts of science, good science, solid science, but then cross-references it anthropologically. You got to know truth, especially in the maze of nutrition, because there's so much perception. And truth for me, after 20 years of school, and still in school, and still in clinical practice, and I'll be in school another 5 years, I'll be 55 years old before I'm out of school. School, school, practice, practice. You know what I've learned? Take the science and cross-reference it with the anthropology. If it looks good in the lab, it's a plus. Then take that and say, who's done this for years and years and years? And if it makes sense, investigate it. Now, that's what I've done. That's what you're hearing from me today. That's what Ed Howell did. That's why you'll read that in his book. So, the Eskimos, a third culture, let their meat rot in the snow. They call this the high meat. If the dogs are tired and have to go on a long journey in a perilous, very dangerous, stressful winter, the dogs eat rotten meat. I'm not suggesting you eat rotten meat. That's too much. Perhaps even too much for some of you to hear today. But I assure you, these practices are done. The American Indian did it, and this is what we call jerky. In the Southwest, where the air is dry, we take the meat, we cut it thin, we hang it over a clothesline. Joanna, at my office in Santa Monica, her grandfather is Navajo Indian. He still makes jerky every year. I've tasted that jerky. That jerky is delicious. That jerky is fermented meat. That jerky breaks down in your body easily. That jerky is a fibrinolytic gift from God. All these fermented foods have their fibrinolytic capacities well studied. Eaten this way, they dissolve or thin the blood, not thicken or impede it. But in America, you see, we don't really practice this. We depend on coumadin and warfarin, which is rat poison, and all their side effects, when we could prevent these clots long before heart attacks or strokes. Okay. I want to tie last week's lecture on stress and inflammation. I want to tie last week to this week. And that's why I want you to listen each week. Because each week is going to build on the other week. And the difference between this show and other forms of education are, I'm going to design this, and I am designing it, and I think we're succeeding at it, at deepening your understanding by linking the shows. This will not be a show simply about, take this product because it does this for you. All right? Now, that's all well and good, and I'm going to do it too. But as much as I can possibly do it, I'm going to deepen your understanding. And to do that, I need consistency from you. Because I'm going to refer to last week's show right now, and if you didn't listen to it, well, that's okay. But if you did, you'll see the advantage. So, when the inner lining of the artery, the arteries around the heart, the arteries to your brain, the arteries that deliver fresh oxygenated blood all over your body, when these arteries are free radical damaged from high-heated cooked fats, from smoking, etc. This chemical stress is a word from last week now. The chemical stresses to the inner lining of the artery initiates through the immune system as those cells get damaged to the stress. The immune system sees it and releases all sorts of inflammatory chemicals. And those chemicals creating inflammation ultimately scar. S-C-A-R, scar. And you hear that word everywhere. I'm going to introduce it in a new way. We scar throughout the body, not just the artery, but the organs. Anywhere there's chronic inflammation, we create scars. That scar is synonymous in a sense with the deposition of fibrin. So there's a clear, fresh virgin tissue being chemically stressed by any one of those stressors, beginning to inflame that tissue, and that inflammation ultimately becomes a scar, and that scarring initiates and is tandem to the deposition of fibrin. Where blood thickens, you will have fibrin depositing. Where you have scars, you have an impedance to circulation. And that impedance initiates the beginning of fibrin as blood just coagulates a little and then a little more. We start this traffic jam. So these little strands of coagulatory scar tissue begin the deposition phase, where we begin to see the clot grow or the plaque begin to form. Now there it is in a nutshell. Teenage virgin tissue on the inner lining of an artery, stressed chemically in all the ways we've discussed, initiating an inflammatory cascade resulting in the deposition of fibrin, which is the beginning of the clot or the plaque. Clots grow when we have heart attacks, pulmonary embolisms, or if these clots reach the brain, you have an embolic stroke. If the plaque builds, it plugs up the arteries and you have a heart attack. So almost 1 million Americans have a heart attack in 2010. Every 25 seconds and every 1 minute, one American dies. Heart disease remains the nation's greatest killer, and we don't take a hint from the French or the Japanese. Nor do we take a good look at the science. And one solution, again, is the nattokinase. That's the Japanese solution. A premier research lab sells this as Circuzyme. Okay, that's the first novel gift in my cardiovascular kit. That's nattokinase to dissolve the fibrin web before it dissolves you. Then I added cardiocytin, which is garlic, to dissolve, and this is garlic's role, to dissolve the sticky, toxic, hydrogenated, high-heated trans garbage fat that inevitably finds its way into your diet. So garlic to thin out the sticky fat, and then cayenne to vasodilate those arteries. That's in cardiocytin, the cayenne. And then hawthorn berry, another vasodilator to expand those constricted arteries. So we add two 90-capsule bottles of Circuzyme to one 8-ounce bottle of cardiocytin with concentrated garlic, cayenne, and hawthorn. And then the masterstroke in this formulation, we add 5 bottles of reishi. Now, why reishi? Well, again, more science so you understand what reishi is. Reishi is a cardiotonic. And reishi has the dynamic quality of allowing your heart, which is a muscle, to contract, which it never stops doing, to contract effectively on far less glucose, which is heart food, and less oxygen, equally important. So under anaerobic conditions, meaning oxygen-deprived conditions, when your heart's working fast and you're not delivering enough oxygen for the correct contraction, on reishi, your heart suffers far less. We call reishi the ultimate cardiotonic. So I put together 2 bottles of Circuzyme at 6 capsules a day, an 8-ounce bottle of cardiocytin at a teaspoon and a half a day, and 5 bottles of reishi at 15 caps per day. That's about 6 grams of raw reishi a day. That's a good bolt. That's a 1-month supply for $189.99. $189.99 for a 1-month supply. That's as low as I can get it. And if you order today, the shipping's free. Okay. Now, I spent an hour yesterday with Joanna, Rebecca, Jolene, and Carla. That's 310-320-1132. 310-320-1132. I spent an hour educating them so they can get the dialogue going with you. Call them. I got a wonderful staff and take advantage. Okay, that's my solution for heart health today. I want to hear your calls. Lots of them, hopefully on the heart. 888-777-0711. 888-777-0711. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back and start the dialogue. This is Dr. Medici, Straight Talk on Health. Hi, my friends. This is Dr. Medici. Write this number down right now. 1-888-777-0711. That's 1-888-777-0711. That's my toll-free, super easy-to-remember phone number that allows you to get on the show with me live to get your health questions answered. That's 1-888-777-0711. I want to hear about your health concerns, your symptoms, your aches and pains, your questions about surgery, anything under the name of health that concerns you concerns me, and I'll get it handled. And if it's inappropriate for the show or we need more time, I'll finish it after the show. That's 1-888-777-0711. And if you're shy and this isn't the kind of thing you do, do it anyway. I promise I'll make it easy. That's 1-888-777-0711. Hope to hear from you. Bye-bye.
Dr. Medici wants to thank everyone for listening to his show. And, of course, you'll want to know how to make an appointment with the maestro yourself. If you're facing a health issue and need an expert orchestrator who can get to the underlying causes, then all you need to do is go to straighttalk.cc and click on Make an Appointment. Rachel or Joanna will call, get your appointment booked, and take the necessary initial health information. If you don't have a computer, feel free to call them directly at 310-320-1132. 310-320-1132. Dr. Medici spends several hours initially getting to know you and understanding your health concerns. His healing methods are about quality of health as opposed to quantity of patients. Your health experience at the Premier Center will be different than any other doctor's office visit, guaranteed. To make your appointment, submit a request online at straighttalk.cc or by calling 310-320-1132.
Okay, we're back. We're back with the usual amount of tech problems that we have each week. That's part of the uniqueness of our show. But let's just take the first call, whoever it is. Hi, this is Dr. Medici. Who's this?
Hello?
Hi, this is Dr. Medici. Who am I speaking to?
This is Ann.
Hi, Ann. Ann, you have
Dr.
a
Medici?
Lot.
Can you hear me?
Hi, Ann. You have a lot of background noise.
Okay.
You got to help us with that.
Yeah, I have a background noise. Just let me walk up.
Okay, we're going to put Anna on hold, and we'll get to her when she works out the noise in the background. Hi, this is Dr. Medici.
Hello?
Hi, Dr. Medici. Who's this?
Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen.
I was kind of complicated. Have you heard about diodes to help your body overcome, electromagnetic energy that you might be exposed to?
Certainly we have. Now, the first thing you're going to want to do is tell me what your problem is.
Well, have you heard of the SDG&E down here in the southern part of California, plus they're doing it in northern California? They're putting in smart meters directly on each house. And some people have already, some several months ago, I pulled out an article, well, maybe even last year, and some more recently, are having really bad problems. I already have. Like the Gulf War syndrome. And the things that they're describing are very much like that.
Okay, but I want to make sure, first of all, are we talking about electromagnetic radiation that you're concerned about being exposed to, and you're talking to me about a diode to counter that effect?
I think.
You think? Okay.
Well, the electric company is putting in these, they're changing the meter system around where they can read it.
Okay. Let me answer it this way. First, for the audience also, okay, what Kathleen is talking about is radiation. Those are magnetic fields which result from the incorrect wiring into the homes.
Mm-hmm.
And easily, when you take certain meters, and I'm going to refer to something called a Gauss meter, because that's the unit in which, one of the units in which we measure this radiation is through something called milligauss. And there is a company called F.W. Bell, and they make a Gauss meter. And that model is actually model 4120. I have one myself. And you take this meter and you turn it on and you go next to what you consider the source of the radiation. And if you get a reading, as far as I'm concerned, over one, and that you can take all the way into your home to see how far this field goes, then you have a concern. And what you'd have to do then, potentially, is employ the use of different sorts of technologies that are used to counteract that. Now, I don't know if the diode that you have actually works or not.
I don't have one. I you know how you get newsletters when you're on, when you get other newsletters about health.
Here's the thing. If you listen to Healthline, Dr. Marshall's show, he and his significant other have developed different countermeasures to the EMF, and I think that's the cutting edge. I would think that. And perhaps I'm prejudiced there, but definitely I have watched him over 10 years.
Now, who is this you're talking about?
This is Healthline, and that's Dr. Robert Marshall.
Uh-huh.
And you can call our order line if you like, since we certainly represent him, 310-320-1132. Uh-huh. And there are different, I guess you could call it, forms of diodes that you can place in the home to counterbalance the radiation. But, and this is important, Kathleen, if I can try to speak to Joanna specifically, because she knows the most about this, all right? There is something called a Gauss meter from that company, and if you have one, I have one, she has one.
I used to have one like 10 years ago.
Okay. That's what you want to get your hands on, because you can take it, you can go back to where they've got these new meters, and you can measure. And then you walk away from that site into your home, into your bedroom, and you see if there's a reading as you move away. And if by the time you're in parts of your house that you frequent a lot, like the bedroom, the kitchen, the dining room, the chair you sit when you watch television, and that number is over one, you have a concern then, and I would say definitely start to try to employ the technologies. If that number, Kathleen, is over five, honestly, I don't want to, you know, create Pandora's box here, but I've told people sometimes in homes where the reading of milligauss is up to 15 or 20. I have a good friend now that's looking for an apartment in Santa Monica, and they have a Gauss meter, and half the apartments that they walk into have radiation there up at about 15 or 20 milligauss.
Well, what a good idea to have one of those with you.
I have one all the time. People that sit on car seats. The book to get to reference this is called Cross Currents by Robert Becker. Cross Currents. It's on my website, Cross Currents by Robert Becker, The Perils of Electromagnetic Pollution. And, you know, guys in the audience, the problem with milligauss relative to chemical stress, the problem with radiation stress is the cell does not know how to defend itself. You can block a parasite. You can block a chemical. You can block a virus or a microbe. We have an immune system that's developed equally intelligent to the microbial problem. But when we're talking about radiation from milligauss, from this electronic mess we've created, we have not evolved the right defenses. So you either stay away from it because you measure it, or if you're in it, you employ technology.
Yeah.
All right, Kathleen?
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to let you go. This is a great question. I'm glad you called in.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. I'm just going to wing it here and pick the next line. Hi, this is Dr. Medici. Who's calling?
Yes, Dr. Medici. This is Anne again.
Hi, nice to talk to you. This is
yes, sir.
Anne. Okay, so you turned down that noise in the back. Thank you. I can hear you perfectly.
Yes, thank you. I was calling about some the last few days, pains I've been having in my side, under my rib cage. Side, upper back pain.
Yeah, is it on the right side?
It's on both sides, actually, mostly on the left. But it was, I was trying to see if it's related to, I did a bone scan and nerve scan that shows that I have osteopenia. And I don't know if that can cause pain.
Okay.
Also,
I'm going to start this one out. And I may have to take this later on, but I'm going to give it some good time right now, Ann. Now, tell me, does it get any worse around digestion?
Around that, no, but it does. It does give me some nauseated feeling. I do eat, but I have slight nausea.
Okay, I got to tell you, the first thing when you say nausea and pain around the rib cage, I think about is gallbladder. Can I ask you how old you are?
I'm 52 this month.
Okay, can I ask you, are you African-American or?
Yes.
Okay, are you from America or the Caribbean?
I'm from Jamaica, the Caribbean.
Okay, you know, I just had a lovely Jamaican woman in this week. It was gallbladder. It is always gallbladder down in the Caribbean, and I'll tell you exactly why. Remember as a little girl, you ate coconut?
Yes.
Okay. You don't eat coconut here in America enough, raw coconut. And what happens when we don't do that is that raw coconut fat will go into the gallbladder and dissolve all that coagulated, crummy bile that creates gallstones and biliary distress. And the minute your hormones start to thin out at the age of about 45 or 50, what happens is that the coagulation or the sludge that builds up in the gallbladder gets much, much, much worse. Then you need the coconut even more. It's a native food that Jamaicans have used historically to make sure they never have this kind of problem.
Oh.
The minute the gallbladder starts becoming trouble for you, you're going to tell me you get nauseous. That's a big, big, big clue. If it's just osteopenia, Ann, you're not going to get nauseous. If it's just osteopenia, all right, it's going to feel very, very, very different. Let me ask you a question, and this is another way you find this out, okay? Whether it's gallbladder or not, okay, you need to flush your gallbladder. And if you were to do that, Ann, now if you were to do this, and you said, you know, Dr. Medici, I did the gallbladder flush, I called in, you can call into the girls, they're very versed at teaching this, and it was very easy for me to do, well, then I might have to go back and study this situation again, Ann, but I'll bet you if you do a gallbladder flush, just that little bit of olive oil that you ingest is going to challenge you. In other words, I'll bet you if we give you a tablespoon or two of a good organic olive oil and we ask your liver gallbladder to secrete enough bile to emulsify and digest that olive oil, I'll bet you you're going to say you feel challenged in some way. You may get more nauseous. And if you do, we got it. We nailed it.
Okay.
If you get more of that pain, we nailed it. So this is what I think I'm gonna suggest you do. Would you call to talk to Joanna?
Yes.
All right. She's my crackerjack there. She knows more than most doctors. 310-320-1132. 310-320. Ask to talk to Joanna. She's listening to the show now, as is my whole staff. And let them fill you in on the mini liver gallbladder flush. In a few weeks, it'll be up on my website anyway, straighttalk.cc. But start this way. I think it's the best way to do that, Ann. And then you call in and you let me know via this blog that we're going to set up how you're doing with that flush. But I have a strong, strong feeling that's what we're talking about, okay?
Right. I tried the coconut oil pulling, you know, when you put the coconut oil in your mouth and squish it around.
Yeah, but that's not a bad thing to do. But here's, if you're going to do coconut, and again, you could talk to Joanna. I'm actually going to do a YouTube on this soon where I'll just teach people how to open a coconut. Because if we take the Thai coconut, it looks like the house, the white one, right?
Yes, and I just, the Thai one is the better one.
Yes, and I'll tell you why. All you do is you get a sharp knife and you cut off the top. You pour the water into a blender. You put a spoon or an ice cream scoop into the coconut and you easily dig out the soft white meat.
Right. And yeah, then, I'm used to that.
I know you know. I know you know. I love it. You take that soft white meat in with the water and then you blend it. And every morning you drink that coconut flesh.
Right.
Now that fat, when that fat goes into your body, It will dissolve the garbage that gets into the gallbladder.
Oh, I see. No, Dr. Medici, do you know if they irradiated or if they already the coconut that they import here, because I usually buy the coconut, the green coconut, and I drink the water because I like that. But
okay.
I just want to know if I'm taking in more toxins if I do.
Here's
that.
The thing, and it's a great question, and I want to answer this to you and everybody else. One, you're going to go for the best organic, beyond organic quality you can get. Okay, and whether that means the farmer's market or like on my website or some of the health food stores we recommend where they take the time to find out that what they bring in is not irradiated. But if you're at places like Mother's, Whole Foods, etc., and for whatever reason you can't really find out, you have to look at it cost-benefit. Right now, and if we were to go into the food supply today and really criticize it, really analyze it, and expect the food to be like it was 100 years ago, we'd starve to death. There just isn't any food like that anymore. So you got to go cost-benefit, but it doesn't mean that you can't be healthy. There is enough health, and I know this because I use food to help people cure illness. There is enough food out there that if you take the time to get the healthy stuff, some of these problems, yeah, they're there, but in cost-benefit, you're way ahead. So you go out and you get the best organic coconut you can find. You get the best organic coconut that you can find. You do that, and then you're going to find that it will help your body. Your body will give you the answer. And after that, you just listen to the show, because I will continually. We're going to do a whole special on where you can get the food. And I'm going to endorse different places after I've confirmed all the little detail fact-finding things, so that our consumers here that listen to the show can be assured that they're getting the utmost of quality. And I'm even at some point going to bring the owners of these businesses onto the show, and we're really going to grill them on the show.
Yeah.
And we're going to go out from there. There's a place called the Raw Garage on Rose and 7th in Venice. On Rose and 7th Street in Venice. Every Wednesday and Saturday, they're there, and they import foods from all over the country via a 16-wheeler truck, and the quality of those foods is unlike anything I know. It is far beyond what you can get in the health stores.
Okay.
We have a 16-wheeler from Pennsylvania come in every week, and the Amish, the Pennsylvania Amish, who, as far as I know, are as fastidious and diligent about creating the most non-toxic food of anybody I know, anywhere in the United States, they drive a 16-wheeler in every single week to deliver different sorts of foods. So,
that's awesome.
All right, I'm going to let you go. It was
okay.
Wonderful to talk to you. Great question, and stay in touch with me so I know we can finish this issue out correctly, okay?
I will. Thank you so much.
Ciao. Okay, we're going to keep going. Let's see. We got a whole bunch here. Dynamite, who are you going to pick from? Any supplements for the hair beginning to turn gray? This is John from San Diego. All right, let's see what we can do here. Hopefully this will be John from San Diego. Hi, is this John?
Hello, sir.
Hi, John. This is Dr. Medici.
Yes, you phrased my question well about graying hair, beginning to turn gray.
Okay, well, how old are you?
50.
Okay, that's about when the hair starts to turn a little gray. All right, here's the thing. The hormonal system of the body, that's a combination of the adrenal glands, the testes, the thyroid, the hypothalamus, the pituitary, all supply the prime electrical force to keep the body young in the way, I think, in common verse we call young. In other words, is the skin wrinkle-free? Is the hair still the color it was when you were born? Do we still have sexual function like we did when we were teenagers? So on and so forth. Is the skin sagging? Does the muscle tone stay like it was when I was 25? These sorts of concerns are very, very related to what I think the Chinese have a better terminology for. Kidney jing, J-I-N-G. It means the primordial force that you want to sustain way after 50, so when we're 70, we can feel like we're 30. The ultimate healing program, so to speak. And more than one supplement, this is why I'm explaining it this way, John, more than one supplement to turn gray hair back to its original color, all right, is what can John do over the next 6 months so that when we add up all the things he's done for his health, are we looking at him and going, wow, this guy's got his glow. Whatever he's doing, he should just tell me because I want to do that because that guy looks younger to me. Whatever that is, John, specific to you, okay, is what's going to turn your color back to where it was. For instance, I'll give you an example. Let's start without supplements. Let's first start talking about sleep. Now, this may or may not apply to you, but let's just say in the last 6 months to a year, there's been a lot of emotional stress, and let's say for whatever reason, instead of getting that straight 6 to 7 hours, you're only getting 4 hours. There's nothing in the way of a supplement better for your kidney gene. What's going to turn your gray back to its original color than to get your sleep? There's an example. Let's just say you decided 10 years ago to go vegetarian, or the animal protein that you've been eating, say you're not vegetarian, the animal protein you've been eating, okay, you're not digesting. We go into protein deficiency. We need copious amounts of good animal protein to build the glandular system, the testes and the adrenals. And when we don't have enough, we may find then we accelerate the rate at which the hair turns gray, and so on and so forth. So you're really, really opening up a great conversation that would really, to give you the best answer, I'd have to know a little bit more about what's going on in your system. How can we reinvigorate the hormonal system? That's really the question you're answering, asking me. If there's a single supplement, honestly, I've never seen one. I had a guy, John, the other day, I had a guy come into the office and his hair, the color in his hair went from gray to reddish brown. And he's taking DHLA. And that's what he said. He said, I've been taking 2 teaspoons and he's running around. He's 65 years old. I've known him for 10 years. And yeah, the color had changed. Now, I don't know if it's the DHLA. I could create sort of a perspective, John, that would say, yes, that might do that. But really, I can't be sure. I don't say there's one thing. I would say there's a high likelihood that a person can turn gray back to their original color if they look at all the different dimensions of their health, and then they start to take right action so that the hormonal system can rest and regenerate. And that's a much, much better way for me to answer that question. Sometimes it's not a supplement. Sometimes it's understanding how the body works. So if you want, what we can do after the show is I'll get on the line with you. I'll put you on hold. We'll keep you in the call box. You can still listen to the show. And what I'll do is I'll get on and we can ask more specific questions. And then I can really get a sense of how to bump up your hormonal system. All right?
Thank you, sir.
All right. Stay on the line. Thanks. Okay, where are we going next here? We have Melanie from Brentwood. She's got food sensitivities, hives, and breathing problems. Boy, we know what that one is. Okay. Hi, Melanie. Dr. Medici, how are you? Hello? All right.
Frank Leon speaking.
Hi, Melanie.
Yeah.
Hi, Dr. Medici. How are you?
Oh, okay, I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Sounded surprised.
Sorry, turning the volume down on the show. Okay. Did you hear what my question was?
We have food sensitivities.
Yeah.
Hives, breathing problems. You cough a lot.
Yes, and it kind of has torn a couple muscles in my intercostal region, so it's really painful. So, of course, I try to avoid any foods that do that. And so my question goes along with probiotics, but I've noticed that the HCL does it as well as the stomach complex. I haven't tried the stomach complex as a tea yet, but I'm wondering, my body needs those things. So I'm wondering if you know a way that we can get my body to be able to receive those.
Oh, okay.
I know they're needed. I just doesn't seem like my body can handle them.
All right. First thing we have to do is a little groundwork here so I can help you. First of all, how old are you?
40.
40. And I have a strong feeling, without ever seeing you, that you're very slender.
Very.
Now, how did I know that?
I don't know.
Is this rigged?
What?
Is this a rigged show, like I asked you to call in to impress my audience?
No.
I've never met you, and yet I knew you were very slender. Okay? And the reason is that we've had a couple of calls like this. So welcome if this is the first time you've listened to the show. But we've had a couple of calls like this, Melanie. And what happens to, in Ayurvedic medicine, what we call the Vata, V-A-T-A, those are the slender women. They have no problem losing weight. They have problems gaining weight.
Mm-hmm.
They're the models of our culture. Okay? And the Vatas, all right, tend, okay, to have food sensitivities. And the reason is this. In America, the Vata tends to, unfortunately, not digest your protein and often become vegetarian. And if they're not vegetarian, they still eat a lot of carbs and they don't digest their protein. And then worst of all, they don't get enough raw fat. And so collectively, when just putting on 10 pounds of good, healthy muscle to their body from dietary change, instead of doing that, they stay so deficient in the intestines that the intestines inflame. Now, if you've been listening to the show, this thing about inflammation actually makes little holes in the intestinal villi of the small intestine, and you start getting larger molecules of food going up into your portal vein and then into your bloodstream. Whereas if you didn't have that inflammation, those foods wouldn't get through. And once they get into the circulation, those foods that are partially undigested, so they're macromolecules instead of being the fully broken down version, your immune system sees them and attacks them. And that's the hives and the breathing problems and the cough. I am not guessing at this point. I'm absolutely positive, only because I have seen this, Melanie, so, so many times. Can I ask you, are you an O blood or an A blood?
Do
you?
An O blood.
Okay. Talk to me after the show. It's going to take about 10 or 15 minutes to cue you in on what to do about this. I've only done this 1,000 times. It doesn't cost a lot of money. It's simply a matter of changing your diet and really mastering, okay, what we call the primal diet.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that, and I think that's the best way to do it because it's going to take me about another 10 minutes to do it correctly, okay?
Okay.
But definitely stay on the line. I will spend at least 10, 15 minutes with you after the show.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
My pleasure. Bye-bye. That's a very common one. If you've been listening to the show, guys, you've heard this so many times here. I've heard it like 4 times. This is our 4th show. I've heard it 4 times already. People, especially the slender types, the Vata in Ayurvedic medicine, are running around with 10 to 15 less pounds of muscle that they require. Sometimes it's psychological. Sometimes it's simply they decide to go vegetarian for ethical reasons. Sometimes they don't digest their protein. And what happens when you do this, and lots of you fit this description. If I've had 4 people call in 4 shows with exactly the same thing, I can just imagine exponentially how many people are like this. And in my experience, there are a lot of people like this. They go into cachexia. In other words, they're malnourished. And when you're malnourished, you cannot repair in the small intestine the intestinal villi, the little suckers that bring the food in after you digest it. You can't bring it in the right size. Because once the villi inflame, larger food particles get through. And those larger food particles, you were not designed to have circulating in your system. So your warriors, your police force, your immune system sees these things and they attack. And that's the hives and the breathing problems and the coughing. Now I'll get on the phone later with Melanie after the show, and we're going to work this out. It's an easy one, it's a lot of fun, and it doesn't cost a lot of money. Now you take digestive enzymes. I'm all for digestive enzymes because life isn't perfect. And on the holidays, you're going to eat out. You're going to break down. You're going to want that delicious slice of pizza. You're going to go travel. And the heck with correct eating, the food in France and the food in the Italian restaurants of New York is just so fantastic. Why not do it? So life's not perfect. So you bet you're going to need those digestive enzymes, and they're a blessing. But food, good food, digestible food, real mastery of food, does not replace. Rather, digestive enzymes do not replace, okay, correct eating. It doesn't work that way. They mitigate symptomology when you're not eating right. And that's one way to think of digestive enzymes. But what Melanie was asking was classic. It was, look, I've got this, we're not, or no one's spoken to her about diet. What am I going to do with this herb and that herb and the other herb? And although I think if you didn't have a choice, that's an intelligent way to go. You've got to hit the diet, too. That's the idea. Okay. I'm going to try Peggy from Covina. Endoscopy, they found an ulcer and a lot of acid in the stomach. Taking HCL detox kit, digest before eating, HCLF reading. Doctor said she could not take the acid. Should she get off the HCL? Oh, man. All right, let's talk to Peggy from Covina, and I may have to take her after the show also because I only have about 2-3 minutes. All right, let's see here. Hi, Peggy.
Hello. Is this Dr. Medici?
It is Dr. Medici. You heard me already read the case, and we're ready to work with it. Now, I'm going to start. I've got about 2 minutes left or so. So what we're going to do is I may have to take this after the show, and I will, to finish it, okay?
Okay.
And for you guys calling in to really do this correctly, I just got the 1 minute signal here, but I'm going to make it a 3 minute. I'm going to take the show till 10:59 straight through, and I don't have to do a wrap up. I'm just going to say goodbye now to everybody after I talk to Peggy. All right. I love the way the show is working. I love your calls, and I love helping, and I can do it. And it's just a joy to see that I can do it because you don't know until you do on the phones. So, Peggy from Covina, you have an ulcer and a lot of acid in the stomach.
Yes. And inflammation, they said, is also in my stomach.
Okay, now, all right. When you take the HCL, does it inflame you? Does it bother you?
Once in a while it does, but on a regular basis it doesn't. Maybe once or twice a month it may, you know, I get.
So Peggy, from me to you to Dr. Marshall back to me, as long as that HCL doesn't burn you, you stay on it.
Okay.
That is your life link.
Yeah, because they said it was the acid. It was too much acid in my stomach, and is what's making the inflammation.
What they should say is this. This is what they should say. They should say that the poorly digested food is rotting in the stomach and in the intestines because you're not making enough hydrochloric acid because the parietal cells, which make it in the stomach, are burned out. That's what they should say. And then they should say that lactic acid, which is a product of poor digestion, is burning a hole in your lining. That's what they should say.
Okay.
So it's not the HCL, it's the lack of HCL. If I go out at 10 o'clock at night, I'm a healthy guy. I'm 50 years old. I'm a bit like a pit bull. If I go out at 10 o'clock at night and make the mistake of eating the wrong food, okay, I'm going to take after the show. Okay, Peggy, so just hang on.
Okay.
And I'll see everybody You've next week, and hopefully we'll have these tech problems finally resolved. It's been a pleasure, and we'll talk to you next week. Peggy, just hang on.
Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part, you can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna. at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.